From the beautiful new Aquarius Casino Resort in Laughlin, Nevada, here on the Colorado River. Here at the UFO Congress, I'm Jerry Pippin, and we have an interesting guest here, Michael Telstar. He's had some experiences on the dark side, and maybe even some UFO things. But basically, he's a mentalist, and he's going to do an amazing thing for us before the program's over. Michael Telstar, or I guess I should say Michael J. Telstar.
That's fine.
Yeah, what's the J stand for?
Joseph.
Okay, well, good. Tell me a little bit about, two or three people have mentioned you to me. So you've got your fans. Tell me why.
Well, I'm the resident remote viewer here. I'm also known as a paranormalist. So a paranormalist is somebody that utilizes paranormal principles with scientific applications. So I guess some people have experienced some of the things that I've done here personally, so I guess they sticks to them.
Yeah, now you're a very entertaining fellow, so do you approach this from the entertainment value, or is there a hidden message here?
Absolutely, yeah. You're very perceptive, Jerry. I didn't tell you much about myself, but I was an escape artist for 15 years. So I do have kind of a dramatic flair when I do my seminars and my workshops, and I think that helps a lot.
Well, they made a videotape of you in which you moved something right off of mental force.
Mm-hmm, yes, and I also affected the person, a couple of people, too, without touching them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And hopefully we'll have that film clip because they promised it to me. We'll see.
Okay. Well, you'll see it, and I guess seeing is believing. But when moving objects or whatever, somebody could say,
"How do you do that?" Is what I'm getting to.
Well, some people could say, "Well, there's a string attached to it." Well, there's no string attached to it, but I'm affecting other people as well, making them feel or think something that isn't there. So obviously, I'm not doing something. How do you do it? Well,
yeah. Are you saying that board didn't drop off the top of it?
Oh, no, that really happened, and that people do experience things, I've learned through, my own experiences.
Well, what I'm asking is, does this take, seems to me that would take some extraordinary energy. Do you get pooped doing this stuff?
I do get a little tired, but you can actually do this. You can learn to do it. In fact, Uri Geller gave me my first technique 25 years ago when I worked at the old Don Jail. I had the graveyard shift there, and I loved it. The place was haunted, by the way. And I was really bored because I had 12-hour shifts, 4 days a week. And he gave me a technique. I contacted him, and he told me to put a piece of paper on the pin of a needle. Don't pierce the needle. Just balance it, put it boomerang-shaped, and then just tell that little sucker there to spin. And so I did that, and nothing happened, and I continued to do it, and I thought I was breathing on it, but sure enough, it did get to turning, and then after a while, I got to move away from 1 foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, make it spin one way, tell it to stop, to spin the other way. So I actually teach people how to do this, Jerry, and whether I'm affecting the photon energy, whether I'm utilizing some kind of heat energy to make it move, I'm not sure. I really don't know. I've had some quantum physics try to explain it and what I'm doing, and I don't know how I do it, but the fact is that there are people right here at the conference who have done it. Kathy's here, and some other people that are here that I've taught to do it, and I can get her for you if you want to speak to her. And the fact is, you can actually learn to do that. So people will do it, and once they pass a belief system, and they get that thing to move, and once they understand, they can affect things outwardly outside their body that empowers them more. And of course, everybody has this ability already, as you know.
You're saying any of us can do? Do you do seminars or things like that?
When you move your hand. Right, when you move your legs, when you stand up, you're affecting your body using psychokinetic energy, and electrical impulses are coming through your body, and they're moving your hands. So what if you can do that and extend that energy and that ability outside yourself? It doesn't have to be connected. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to. So once you do that, you can affect things on a level, and people do it unconsciously.
Well, it sounds to me like maybe I wouldn't want to make you angry. You might. I've heard the stories about.
You know what? I did. When I was younger, I'm a little bit wiser now, I hope. But when I was younger, I did have people. I looked after a couple of my father's properties, and there were some tenants that really got on my nerve bad. And there was once, a fight happening on the second floor, and three people were screaming their heads off. I couldn't take it anymore. So what I did, this is about 25 years ago, what I did was I focused on giving them an extremely excruciating headache. And about 10 minutes later, They weren't screaming anymore, screaming at each other. They were screaming in pain.
Wow.
And there was a couple people there, and they were actually had, and you were telling them, where's the aspirin, and my head is splitting. And I did it, and I had no doubt about it, and I thought about it for a while, and I don't know how I affected it so fast, but I did give them such a serious headache that they shut up, and it didn't. They never did that again, actually. They never screamed again, because it was bothering me. It was really yelling, so I focused on giving them an excruciating headache. I imagine a screw turning on the back of their heads.
Wow.
In my mind. And I don't know, and this is before I went to the Munro Institute.
Now, it seems to me that... You didn't answer me. Do you do seminars to teach other people how to do this?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's my mission for the last 10 years, Jerry.
And do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's
And we have a link to it.
It's Astral Warriors. You know, like the astral realm, you know, A-S-T-A-R-L, warriors, plural, .com.
Do people have to be with you personally to...
No,
you can
come anywhere. I'll go anywhere in the world. I've been everywhere, all over the place. People just call me up. There's a link there for a sponsorship page. I have people set up classes or workshops. I've been all over the U.S. and Canada. And if I get enough people and they put it together, I'll come.
Do people learn this technique easier or better in certain areas of the country?
Well, it all depends, really. Maybe the climate might have an effect on people. Is that what you're asking me, or?
Yeah, well, no, I'm asking you, like, in Georgia, is it rougher to do it than California?
Well, I guess not. Maybe the climate might affect people if it's a nice climate, you know, maybe.
Well, I was thinking more or less of people and their beliefs and systems and things like that in regional type.
Well, belief systems could hamper it. You know, I think I tell people when they come through the doors.
I get. It's actually, you just need to convince people they can do it.
Well, they got to believe first, Jerry, that they're more than their physical selves, or they want to believe it. If they don't have that belief, they can't take the class, right? And I tell people to leave their left brain behind the door, because I don't want them to logically analyze things too much. That's the problem when you learn any of these skills. If you think about it too much, it's going to hamper you. Like when you learn to drive a car, you know, you can't think about, you're thinking about what you're doing, but after a while it just becomes second reflex, right?
You're saying that this really is not that tough after you get used to doing it.
No, it's really, really easy. You just have to practice it a little bit, and everybody has, it's an inherent ability that everybody possesses, and everybody has a different degree of ability, like a singer, for example. People karaoke sing. There are really naturally good singers, and some are not too good, right? But you can improve your singing ability. It's the same thing with martial arts or whatever. So some people will naturally tend to be better than others, but everybody can apply and utilize the ability to some degree.
You have an exceptional ability other than what you're talking about. I mean, are you psychic?
I am psychic. You are psychic. Everyone is psychic. You know, remote viewing, for example, is a modern terminology for clairvoyance, which is psychic ability. So when I do my stuff, I might call it remote telekinesis or remote influencing or whatever. But I am psychic. You are psychic. Everyone has intuitive feelings, glimpses, you know, of insight, flashes of insight. If you're creative, you know, if you're a dancer, singer, actor, performer, if you're a creative problem solver, you're right brain, you're intuitive, you're psychic, you know. Getting impressions and seeing solutions that other people don't see, you know, and when you're spontaneous, you know, that shows that you're intuitive. So it's a form of being psychic.
And you've always been interested in this, but you just were a little bored at your job and developed it.
Well, I became an escape artist, Jerry, because my dad took me to Clark Institute in Toronto when I was 15 years old, because I told him I was doing these weird things. No, he wasn't in it at all. He was a master carpenter and a businessman. And I told him I was taping these voices on tape. I was fooling around with EVP, right, which is, you know, is electronic voice phenomena. And I, you know, had these tapes. I was telling him about these dreams, and he thought I was, you know, literally crazy. And I guess I don't blame him, but I thought every 14-year-old kid was doing this. So he took me to this institute in Toronto which studies abnormal and bizarre behavior. So fortunately, the three psychiatrists that interviewed me at the time, and I was really nervous, I answered all their questions, said I was fine. But then they asked my father to come back in the next day. They wanted to find out why he thought I was weird, you know. So that kind of made me laugh and cry at the same time, and, you know, that kind of, you know, made it a little difficult for me. But I was glad to know that I was emotionally all right. But that's why I became an escape artist, because I wanted to escape from this physical reality. And I started having OBEs, too, by the way, at that time.
Well, I mean, do you, go ghost hunting?
Well, no, I guess I don't have to go ghost hunting. I guess when you have this kind of energy, entities and life forms seem to be attracted to you. So when I worked at the Old Don Jail for 10 weeks, I had a lot of weird experiences in normal places. Well, I would have to do a patrol every 2 hours, and in that time, you know, I could take a nap, because it was midnight to 12 noon, and I slept in the warden's office. That prison was used for 135 years. The last double hanging was in 1962, when I was born, by the way. They had over 150 hangings there, so you can imagine the energy there. So I used to take a shortcut, Jerry, from the main floor to the second floor, and I used to walk up the same stairs that the guys would walk their last mile. And I get all these impressions and vibes. So the scaffolding was gone, but you can see the outline there, and the trap wasn't there. So anyway, I'd walk around, I'd have footsteps, I'd take a nap.
What kind of things were you picking up?
I was picking up, you know, a lot of vibes and of thoughts and impressions. And I was like, I'm 19 or 20 here, right? I was picking up, it didn't scare me, but I was fascinated by it, because I'd take the shortcut, and as soon as I put my hand there up the wood, I'd pick up all these vibes of, you know, extreme fear, you know, sorrow, you know, regret, you know, illness. I get impressions of young and old, you know, all kinds of different things. And it fascinated me that I was told that the security that was there never took that shortcut. You know, but I did, and I once slept in the warden's office.
So when you were, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when you're walking down there and getting all of these impressions, how do you know that just wasn't your creative mind? You're a creative fellow,
and you
must look, remember, or walk and think, I wonder how this guy reacted. This guy subconscious.
Yeah, well, you know what? The energy for intuitive or psychic ability, remote viewing, anything like this, it comes from the same hemisphere of the brain, the right side, and the imagination. It's tied to the imagination on the same spectrum of energy. So when you say it's your imagination, yes, you could say it's your imagination. But the fact is, though, is that the energy, the psychic feedback, the data stream, the signature comes through the same area of the mind. You understand? So it is your imagination, but it isn't, because when you learn to develop this, you tell the difference between your imagination, all right, when you focus your thoughts and your imagination, as opposed to a thought just coming into your mind. So you for example, you get an impression of something or someone or a feeling that comes to you for no reason. You understand what I mean? For example, say for example, you think you're, for some reason, Humphrey Bogart comes into your mind. Okay? You just think of him for no reason. Now, you go to your friend's place the next day, right? And they say, well, you know, I rented a video and Humphrey Bogart stars in it. You understand what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Now, you thought of that name. Now, you think it's your imagination, but indeed, you have precognitively picked up that impression, you know, of this character, you know, that you...
Yeah, back to your story. I left you hanging at the warden's office.
Oh, yeah. So, I took a nap, eh? This happened to me in a lot of places that I worked at, in fact. But I took a nap, and I laid in the actual cot in the warden's office, and this prison had a door like a vault. Nobody could get in, right? I knew that. I was safe in there. At least I thought I was. So I took a nap, and I distinctly heard footsteps in the hallway of shoes coming and getting closer and closer and closer, coming closer right up to the edge of the bed. And then I'd be violently shook up, awake, and nobody was there. That happened to me several times.
Literally.
Like somebody's, like, I thought, when this happened, I thought it was my supervisor. But then I realized that you can only get in with explosives or a battering ram through that door at the prison. And so this bothered me, and I'm only 19 or 20 here, you understand, so I don't really know what's going on. So I did that several nights, and the same thing happened. Sometimes the steps came, and it didn't violently wake me up, because I didn't want to be violently woken up. It would stay there, but I couldn't open my eyes and I couldn't move. And I struggled for like what seemed like 15, 20, 30 minutes before I could. And when I did, it scared the hell out of me. Once I stayed up, I hid somewhere behind like a desk, like a big wooden desk. And I heard the steps, and I stayed behind the desk. And it happened again. And this time I'm not laying down. So people say you're dreaming, you're imagining it. No, I was conscious, cognitive, just like I was in the other instance, but I was behind the desk at that moment, because I take a nap roughly at the same time. You know what? The steps came through the hallway, and they're heavy, and it came right up to the thing, and I'm behind the desk. I was so terrified, I was too scared, and I couldn't move. I was too afraid to put my to look over the desk. I was so terrified, and you know what? I never took a nap again at that time frame, and I found out. You asked me about how I went out. I found a room with about 50 books. Big books like this, heavy, 15, 20 pounds each, very heavy, and these were logs of the last century. And I checked out some of them. And from what I could ascertain, there was a riot, and the warden was taken hostage, and he had his throat slit. I confirmed that. I think that might have been him, I don't know, but it could have been any life form, but I do know that a hell of a lot of guys were killed violently in that place.
From the Aquarius Casino Resort. It's new, and it's on the Colorado River here in Laughlin, Nevada. We're at the UFO Congress. I'm Jerry Pippin. Michael Telstar is our guest. We'll be right back. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Files on JerryPippin.com. We're broadcasting from the Aquarius Casino Resort here at Laughlin, Nevada, on the beautiful Colorado River. Michael Telstar is our guest, and let's get back to the show, Michael. We have quite an audience around us.
Yeah, I had a lot of unconscious projections, Jerry, when I was younger. Lucid dreams, you know what lucid dreams are? Have you had any yourself where you know you're dreaming? You know, you ever wake up in a bed, right, and you wake up again, you realize you wake up in your bed in a dream, you know? That's known as a false awakening. I had a lot of experiences in the lucid dream state in the OBE where I did have encounters, and I thought they were dreams, and I had that for many years, and I didn't tell anybody. And that's one of the reasons why I went to the Monroe. And a couple of them I had were extremely vivid and lucid, and a couple of them may have been physical. I had a 16-hour time loss, too, by the way.
Wow.
I went to a campground in October, so I'd be alone. And I've been focusing on going there and doing something, initiating contact. I know it sounds silly, but I went there, and nobody is there in October, and I had a 16-hour time loss. And it scared me more than I thought it would. It scared me. I didn't think that something like that would happen, of course, but I did have that happen, and when I realized it, I put everything on tape, spoke on a tape on my little tape recorder for about 2.5 hours, and when you replay it again, I sound like Mickey Mouse. My voice sounds like I had, you know, when you breathe in that, that gas, helium? My voice sounds strange on the tape. So there was some kind of an altered experience, and I still have that tape, and only one or two people have heard it. But I'm talking extremely fast and high-pitched in it. I didn't realize at the time, of course, not until I listened to it later, and I'm thinking there's something wrong with the tape, but there wasn't. So I've had encounters with physical and non-physical beings. I woke up in my bed once, saw a tall entity there, you know, at the edge of my bed, and I know this sounds amazing, told very few people, woke up, you know, I heard a particular signal, woke up, you know, looked at the edge of my bed, and this is about 20 years ago, and at the edge of my bed was a tall female life form, and I'm single, you know, and this is not something, whatever, you know, and they're tall, and their eyes are slanted like this, they have pale skin, page boy, black haircut, very attractive. You know, eyes were like this, but they're not your oriental. Their skin is very pale and white, but very incredible. And they were nude, right? Nude, and at the edge of my bed. And I can't believe this. I can't, well, I woke up, right? I'm waking up. I'm lucid here. I'm lucid, right? I get up, and I'm in bed, and I'm moving extremely slow because I figure if I am dreaming, I don't want to wake up. You know? So I'm moving to the edge of the bed. And I'm moving incredibly slow. So I realize that it's not a lucid dream now, that I am having an out-of-body experience. But at the time there, I'd be developing my ability. So it wasn't physical, but the person was there. But I did get up. I think it was an out-of-body anyway. And I'm getting up because I do feel the tug pulling me back. But I'm moving slowly, and I see that the life form is about 12 inches off the floor. That's why she looked like to be about 7 feet tall, but she wasn't. And I went up to about 6 inches from her eyes. So it was very vivid and solid. And I said to her, whether I move my mouth or not, I'm not sure. I says, you can't possibly be real. And she bent down and came even closer to my eyes. And it was incredible. And she says to me, I'm as real as you are. And I won't say what happened after that. But
well, did you have an affair?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe I did. I haven't told this to many people.
Was it out of this world?
But something like this happens when you start projecting in the second state, I call it.
Did she ever come back?
And she did, yes. And why this happens, I don't know. I'm not special for this to happen to me. I figured that it happens, it can happen to anyone. And the reason why it happened is because I was about 2021 here. When you start doing this, right, you emanate a peculiar frequency like a lighthouse beacon, and you attract these life forms. And some of them are human life forms that have passed on, and they got married, and before they can consummate their relationship, they might be attracted to an Earth man or something like that. Or it could be an extraterrestrial or a life form indigenous. I don't know if it's extraterrestrial. You notice I don't say extraterrestrial, but I have met these beings too that look ugly, the grays, so I figured they must be the EBEs or whatever.
Yeah, you've seen more or less a grays.
I have seen those too. I had a girlfriend with me once, and closet opened, this orb came out, and one of these things came out. I awoke, she awoke, but they froze her, and they did something to me. And she's a witness to that.
So, you may have...
She was terrified of it too, but I warned her that this could happen, and it, sure enough, it did.
Well, it's pretty hard to get somebody to come to your room when you tell them this stuff in advance.
Well, I've known her for a while. This was probably a couple years after, you know. But the thing is, I didn't want these things to happen necessarily. I know that I'm perfectly rational, you know, and it's not a big deal to me now. But I'm careful not to label anything that I perceive, whether it's in the non-physical or physical. You know what I mean by that, right?
Okay, now we're about out of time here. In summary, you're saying all of us can move objects.
Yeah, you want me to do a little something for you right now here. Now, you can describe this.
Yeah, can you
describe this? You want to take a picture?
Yeah, he's going to shoot a little 30-second.
Okay, a little 30-second thing. Now, the thing is, I'm going to have to stand up.
You probably can't do it within 30 seconds.
I don't know, you know, but let me see if I can, all right? I can't promise it, but I'm going to try, all right?
Now, what are we going to do here?
Okay, well, I'm going to take this. I call this a piece of wood. I call this an energy conversion block. I teach people how to do this with small pieces of wood.
Now, is that just a regular block? No trick thing there?
No. You're holding it and everything. Shake it, whatever. Do whatever. Hit it on my head, you know. You can hear it's hollow. Anyway, So I tell people put their negative energy in the block, because negative energy is a powerful thing, all right? So I teach them how to do this after I do the paper thing with them, all right? So what I'm going to do is, this is a bigger block. This is a much bigger block, all right? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to balance it. I can do different things.
This is regular Coke bottle.
Yeah, it's a regular bottle or whatever. I got to figure out what's easiest for me to do here. Okay, so I'm going to take this.
We got a lot of people around here. Is that going to bother you with the noise?
Okay, now stand away from the table. I'm going to focus my energy. I'm going to extend my resonant energy.
You're not going to kick the table.
This is an aura. This is an aura we all have.
Okay. He's making motions now, and so far the block hasn't moved.
I don't know if I'll be able to do it.
Don't know if he's going to be able to do it or not. He's trying.
I don't know if I'll be able to do it.
He says that everyone will be able to do it or not.
Still try. Okay.
Give it one more try.
See if he works up to this. And try one more time.
I feel something moving. Come on.
He's still trying. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it or not.
You see anything happening, Jerry?
Anything happening, guys? Anybody see anything happening? Nobody sees anything happening.
Okay. All right. Give it another shot here. I did it yesterday.
Yeah, we have it on video yesterday.
I think I'm going to take just a one minute breather, and I'm going to put my head together again, and I'm going to give it one more shot.
Does this take a lot out of you when you do this?
Well, yeah, it does. It does. Okay. I'm gonna give it one more shot.
Okay.
That tape there. You know what it is, to tell you the truth. When I was doing it over there, I had more space, and I kind of feel constrained. You know.
Well, you want to move it over there to that table. Hold on.
Over there, I had more space, and I kind of feel constrained. You know. Now, when you do this, when you shoot energy out, right, it changes the galvanic skin response. So I'm gonna just put my hands here, and you tell me what they feel like.
They're cold.
Ice cold.
Yeah.
I'm shooting a tremendous amount of energy out. Look at the color of my hands. When you absorb energy, It's hot. When you lose energy.
What color is his hands, Jim?
It's hard to tell. They're real cold.
They're freezing cold, like I'm putting them in a bucket of ice, right? Here's Kathy, by the way. She moved a piece of paper. Her son took my class last year, and she moved a piece of paper, so maybe you want to talk to her for a second.
Oh, we will. Well, Kathy, so how does that work?
Well, I have no idea how it works. I just bent a piece of paper and put it on a biro, little pen, and the piece of paper started spinning on its own, and I got such a fright, I dropped the whole lot. But it went at speed.
You have an interesting accent.
Well, I was born in England, but I live in Australia.
Okay, well, that explains it.
Yes.
English accent mixed with Australia.
Yes, and I have seen Michael at work, and his experiments are really terrific. I've seen him here before doing that, so he does really well.
You've seen it work?
Oh, yeah, it was last year he was doing it. So that's, you know, it's a phenomena that anybody can do. But I have seen Michael do his performance there.
See if he's ready to try it again. You think you're going to work? We got a big crowd here. I don't know.
It does, because if I'm not in a strong alpha brainwave state, which is a focused state of attention, then I'll get distracted, then I can't focus on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Remember I mentioned you have to be in an alpha state to do any of these things, right, and then to maintain it. So I was in it for a while, but I kind of lost it, but I think I'm getting back into it again.
You still want to try it?
Yeah, we're going to give another shot, but we're going to move this over here.
Okay.
I don't give up easily, Jerry.
Okay.
Well, I did a whole show yesterday, so I'm going to try it again.
Now, didn't you do this yesterday or today?
I did it yesterday. I did something different, too, but I did something similar, though, because I can do different things with it. We're going to give it another shot.
Okay. Okay, everybody quiet. Let's see if he can do this.
Okay. I feel something.
Okay, the block and everything. Let's give him a hand for that, folks.
To my hand? I'm going to touch. See how cold my hands are?
Woo!
Nice.
Everybody feel his hands.
Thank you. That's warming them up a bit. Thank you. Thanks.
Good. We got it, and it'll be on the website with the radio show.
Just talk to me later, folks. Stick around, because I got some stuff to give you over here. Michael Telstar. Oh, cold. I'm shooting energy out. Come see me over here because I'm doing a private seminar tomorrow night. All right, so if you want to come and learn how to do this, I'm going to be doing it over here.
Okay, Michael, I think we've pretty well covered it other than you give seminars. What's your schedule?
Repeat my website again. It's astralwarriors.com, and I do 15 fairs a year. But I also have, thank you, I also have open, you know, I have a lot of time open, you know, to accommodate people who ask me to come and see them.
So at these acts that you do at the fair, exactly what do you do, just like you did this?
I do lectures, and I'm also, you know, I got to make a living, so I'm also a psychic consultant, you know, I do 15 fairs a year, so I kind of, you know, give people advice, but the thing is, I really like to enjoy giving people the tools so that they can search and become psychic themselves and not have to be relying on me for that.
And you're saying any of us here can learn to do that?
Well, maybe not to the same extent, but the paper thing, as you were talking to Kathy, you can learn that. It all depends. I've been doing this for a long time, and I did this by accident, and I worked my way up, you know. But you can affect energy, and I do teach people in my speed crash courses that I do on how to utilize energy and how to do something right there on the spot. So I actually do something to people, I don't know how, but there's a part of a person, if you open it up and they believe it and they don't doubt themselves, they can do it. So I almost get, like, between 80 to 90% of the people take my classes will do something in the first couple of hours.
Now, the seminar you're going to do over here tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm doing it tomorrow night in my room. I can only take 10 people, so I still have some spots.
Cool, that's truly amazing. In fact, thanks very much for being on the show. We'll be back with more in a moment. Don't go away. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. people you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.
New Aquarius Casino Resort in Laughlin, Nevada, here on the Colorado River. Here at the UFO Congress, I'm Jerry Pippin, and we have an interesting guest here.
And Dr. Aluti Francesca is here with us, and you've been dealing in this subject forever.
Well, it would seem like it most of my life.
I can only say that to you because I've been doing it for a while, too.
Most of my life, yes.
Now, you have a newsletter that's very interesting, and people can actually subscribe to this newsletter, and you have a phone number and address and things like that. And let's talk a little bit about it right now in front, and then at the end of the interview, we'll do it again so people can have a chance to get a pen and pencil and write.
Okay. It's a quarterly newsletter. It's called StarCraft News, and it's $25 a year subscription. Our address is 7700 Avenue of the Sun, White City, Oregon, 97503. And our phone number is 541-855-1956.
I like that Avenue of the Sun. It sounds like they named the street just for you. Well, tell us a little bit about the StarCraft newsletter. What would somebody find in that?
I do an editorial, and I did some of my research, like I was in London last year, and I met some other people and talked with some people from Greece who'd had contacts. We had that in our summer issue. Also, a lot of the material in there is the material I received through telethought communication.
Well, let's talk
space people.
Let's talk a little bit about the space people. You've had lots of experience in therapy, regression therapy, right?
I work with people in regression therapy. That's my consultation service.
And what was the most astounding thing that jumps out at you, Dr. Francesca, over the years? Have the stories changed, or have they been basically the same, or...? I guess there's a thousand different things.
I've regressed over 3,000 people since 1975, and it's hard to say. There have been some very dramatic past life regressions that I've worked with, some that were very, very ordinary. They always say the criticism of reincarnation is, oh, everybody's always been someone famous, but they haven't. I remember, to turn it around a little, one of the most boring regressions I ever did was with a guy up in Seattle who remembered every detail of his last life, which was a very ordinary life in a little shack somewhere like in Nebraska. He could see the nail holes, he could walk through the little shack. To him it was fascinating. To me it was 2 hours of sheer boredom.
Boring with a capital B.
It was so real. It was so real to him. He was there. He was reliving it completely.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about reliving some of these things. How many times do you think we are reincarnated, or is there a number?
I don't think there is a number. I've worked with people that have gone back to Atlantis, to other planets. I think most people have had thousands of lives.
So, basically, when you said other planets, it's just not Earth-bound lives.
No, not most of them. People I've regressed have had lives on this planet, but a few have gone to other planetary systems and tried to describe them, and it's very difficult for them to put that memory into this context.
And the first time this happened to you, you said you did over 3,000. This had to catch you by surprise about the, maybe they were from another planet, or maybe they didn't because you've been in this field for a while.
No, I was experimenting. First, I had someone who was trained work with regressing me. And I remembered things that I did not remember 5 minutes before the session, which surprised me. And then when I started working with people, I had a doctor's spiritual science degree, but I found I had a natural ability to get people into an alpha state and have them remember and relive the life.
You talked about your personal experiences yourself. How many times do you think you've been around?
Well, I have gone into, I think, 12 past lives at this point, and mine go back to Atlantis, Egypt, Rome, Greece, Elizabethan England.
So they've all been earthbound experiences?
Oh, I've come from another planet, but I'm talking about the ones that I was working with as therapy.
You know, I'm going to ask you, which one? The planet?
I think I'm connected to Saturn. A lot of my communications come from Saturn Command.
And when you get these communications, exactly how does that work?
I sit down with a group of people, my own inner group usually, at a specific time, once every 2 weeks or so, and have a tape recorder and tune in. And within 1 minute or less, if the communication's coming in, a title flashes into my mind. I don't hear this, remember. It's purely telethought. And then I start speaking one word after another, and the communication, which is 20 or 30 minutes, comes through, signs off, and that's it. They started in Santa Barbara in 1958.
And do you remember that first time?
Yes, vividly. My husband at that time, my American husband, and I were experimenting with a light beam communicator, which some of the Solar Cross group had been working with in Los Angeles. We were in Santa Barbara. And at that time, we had been experimenting for weeks and receiving nothing on the light beam. And suddenly, a whole chunk of information, a paragraph, flashed into my mind. And I spoke it, and I said to Ken, my husband at that time, I said, I don't know where that's come from, and I don't want to get it that way. I want to get it mechanically. And the next time we worked, more came in, and again I was protesting. He said, look, the light beam's not working, but you are, so we're switching to you.
That's an interesting story. And what were some of those first communications?
The first one I've always remembered, because I have a feeling it's coming back to this same time now. It was about something was going to happen in the ionospheric layer of our planet. My husband was studying and had a degree in science, and I said to him, what's the ionospheric layer? At that time, back in 58, I had no idea. And he said, oh, it's making sense, just keep on receiving.
So basically, when you talk about these lives, previous lives, you said you've had at least 12, so let's talk about your experience first, if it's okay. What is the goal overall as far as reincarnation, the way you see it? I mean, I keep hearing things like, you know, you have to do it 99 times and on and on and on to become more perfect. Is that basic?
No. The way I work with regression consultations is therapeutic. It's to find out why you have the problems or the hang-ups in the present. Going back on your time track to where those problems originated, how you set them up through guilt or whatever it was, and then reprogram in the subconscious mind a new pattern. That's how I work, and it's very successful.
Do people have to show up there on the valley of the sun, the street of the sun, or whatever the name of that street was, or can they call you and get this therapy, or how does it work?
Oh, I'm up in the hills. They'd never find me. It's up a 2-mile rock road, 20 miles out from Medford. They have to call me and set up a private consultation.
I mean, do you do it on the phone, or?
Oh, no, you can't regress someone on the phone. You have to have them there for 2 hours lying on a couch, and I have to monitor them, and I have to feel very close to them. I wouldn't dream of doing it. It's not a psychic reading.
Well, that's the reason I was asking, is basically people would, when they contact you, they'd have to be prepared to come up there.
Yes, very definitely.
And
I also work with people on tour when I'm lecturing or when I'm on tour.
Are you still touring a lot, or are you taking it easy these days?
I haven't been, but last year I was in London and Devon in England, where I grew up, was born for 3 weeks, and I did some regressions there, and I'm planning on doing more work this year again.
Are you planning on going back to England or someplace else?
Maybe Turkey. I don't know. But certainly possibly England too.
Why Turkey?
Well, because I met the gentleman who from Turkey at this congress who was lecturing, and he was talking of them doing conventions or congresses, and I gave him my material and said I'd be interested. So I'm hoping.
Well, good. You may end up in Turkey. You'll have to let us know. Now, do we have a phone number that we can give out, or do they just basically write to you?
They can do either. They can write to me. I don't have my email up and running at the moment, but I'm going to. But the address, again, is 7700 Avenue of the Sun, White City, Oregon, 97503. The phone number is 541-855-1956.
We'll be back with Dr. Francesca in just a moment. We're going to pause for this commercial word, and when we come back, I want to talk to her about previous lives and previous loves, if that really exists. Do we run across the same people or whatever? I don't know if there's a place to get one here or not. Up there. Yeah. Dr. Francesca, tell me about previous lives and previous loves. You say we keep running across the same people, is that right?
Oh, definitely. Two things bring people together, great love and great hate.
And so they keep coming across each other.
Oh, yeah, the hate, they have to work out the love. That's when you find an ideal marriage, a marriage that they recognize each other the minute they meet, and they just are together the rest of their life.
So, say I found this ideal mate.
Your soulmate.
Yes, if I say I found her, and would it be, and in the next life, will we run across each other again, or is that likely?
Oh, yes. You come together time after time after time where there's great love.
So love conquers all, for sure. Time and space.
In the end, yes.
And they say there's a very close correlation between love and hate, and you say anger or hate actually...
If you hate somebody very, very much, you have to come back and work that out with them. There's not only personal love and personal hate, there's race, what's called race karma, like the Jews and the Arabs, the Irish and the English. They keep coming back often in that same race to work out that same situation.
So in other words, ultimately, there will be harmony between these people that are now natural enemies.
Ultimately, hopefully, yes, we're into
the... You said hopefully, so we don't know for sure. Right?
Well, I guess lately things have been pretty horrible.
They certainly have. In fact, the world seems like it's going a little backwards.
Well, we're at the end of a 26,000-year major cycle, and as we come into this last 8 years, it's supposed to end around 2012. It's got very, very intense, and it will right through until it winds up.
And what happens in 2012?
We should move into the more etherealized fourth dimensional state.
And will that just kind of happen overnight, or is there a transgression, a little period of time where it takes place? We, of course, got Dr. Francesca a glass of water here. You've been talking to a lot of people all day, so you, we finally got it for you.
Thank you. Ask me that.
Yeah, well, the transition of the 2012, is it going to just be like a light turning on and everything?
I am trying to research that intensely. I've listened to a lot of the lecturers here to see where their material correlates with mine. I think there will be an event. Exactly what that event is, I am not sure. And I haven't found anyone else that's sure.
It'll be an event that will bring people together, or?
No, it will be an event like a great light, a great manifestation of the God force, which my space contacts call our Radiant One, which will manifest itself and change everything in the twinkling of an eye. It could be any time between now and 2012.
So the correlations between that and even conventional religious stories is somewhat matching.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be around Laughlin, Nevada this week, be sure and check in at the UFO Congress at the Aquarius Resort Casino. We'll be back with more in a moment. Don't go away.
I'm Jim Mars, author of Alien Agenda, the world's top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs. I'm here today to tell you one of the most fascinating stories I've come across in my career as a journalist. The secret of Reggate is that so many people in one small American community now know that there is so much more to the universe than what we see and experience in our everyday world.
Save $5 this month when you purchase The Secret of Reggate DVD from ShopJerryPippin.com. This film won the prestigious People's Choice Awards at the 2004 UFO Conference. The Secret of Reggate will astound you. You will want to see it again and again. Save $5. Order it now, this month only, at ShopJerryPippin.com. Secret of Reggate, a Linda Cowan production. From the beautiful new Aquarius Casino Resort in Laughlin, Nevada, here on the Colorado River, here at the UFO Congress, I'm Jerry Pippin, and we have an interesting guest here.
And so, you talked about the space people. Let's talk about them for a minute.
Okay.
What is this all about? When did you first get a contact from them?
That was the work I began
in Santa Barbara.
58 in Santa Barbara, but I had been researching and lecturing about space beings from when I was in England, and I grew up in England. So I've been in this field since about 18 or 19, and let's see, when did
it seems to me that the English are a little more open about this than we are, or is that not true?
Well, when we were meeting at Desmond Leslie's apartment, Desmond Leslie, who co-authored the book with Adamski, Flying Saucers Have Landed, that was in 52. And things were not that ridiculed then. I mean, it seems to me things were more open.
An interesting thing about all of this is the space people, for a better term, lack of a better term, are they still in communication with you?
Oh, yes. The material in my newsletter, which, as I said, we publish quarterly, a lot of that material I receive by telethought from them and share with the people who are our subscribers.
Has the message changed over the years? Or is it basically just bringing forth more validation?
It's more detailed. It deals with conditions that are imminent or that are happening to people on the planet. Like recently, there's been a tremendous amount of things hitting people. Everyone I've talked to has had some extreme experiences. One lady had what appeared to be two strokes. I had something I'd never had in my life last October. I had violent nosebleeds, like hemorrhaging, not just an ordinary. I've never had a nosebleed before or since. A lot of frequencies are changing around the planet, and that is affecting people, particularly people who are sensitive, and it's very difficult at this time for many of us.
The violent nosebleeds, did they just go away finally, or what happened? I mean, what caused
it?
Was it to get your attention, or what?
Oh, no. It was just my body reacting to, I think, to the changed frequency. But what actually happened was we had temperatures in the hundreds and 90s right through till the end of October, which is most unusual.
Say for up there in around Medford, that's a little unusual.
Very. And it had been 109 the day after I flew back from England. And here it was extremely hot. And then within a 24-hour period, it dropped from 92 to 29.
And I understand what you're saying, right? It happened within 2 days.
Within 48 hours. And we had no rain. This is right near the end of October. We'd had no rain. And I came home from my yoga classes, and I found a message on my machine. And it said, "Aluti, I hope you've got home. We have a fire on our hill." And I rushed out. It was bitterly, bitterly cold. It must have been about 26 then. It was about 8 o'clock at night. And there were flames just pouring out of two big pine trees across the meadow where there were some other houses. And I normally am very good in emergencies, and I wasn't. I just started shaking like a leaf. We've had to evacuate twice with forest fires in the years I've lived up there. And I just started shaking, and I remember saying, "Oh God, no, please, not again. Please, we don't have to evacuate." And I rushed back in the house. I was shivering with cold. Called my neighbors across the road, and they said, "Well, you might need to pack, but we think we're okay." They had cut down the two flaming trees within the next half an hour, and the two trailers burnt to the ground. And the little kids and the mothers just got out in just like that. And I went back in, gathered my pussycats. I have five beautiful pussycats whom I dearly love in my arms, and I curled up on the couch and I said, I guess we're okay, kids. And the next morning I had this workshop I was going to. One of my hobbies is sewing, and for the first time in my life I treated myself to a sewing workshop. I got there about an hour and a half after I got there, I just realized my nose is bleeding. And I thought, I wonder what happened, and it wouldn't stop, and I remember rushing in the restroom and it was pouring with blood. Not just, you know, like a little nosebleed. And I thought, my God, what happened to me? And one of the nurses came in who was at the seminar, and they tried to help me. And eventually we got it stopped. Then I went back in an hour and a half later, just before lunch, same thing happened. And I went tearing back in the restroom, and the nurses are saying, you know, she's losing a lot of blood. And I've never had an ordinary nosebleed in my life. And so we finally got it stopped again. Then I called my friends who live on the mountain. I said, I don't know what's happened to me, but maybe you better drive into town and drive me home. I don't know. I don't think it's safe for me to drive. And they drove me home, lit my wood fire. It was still bitterly cold. And within a few minutes of getting home, it started again.
Your nosebleed.
Really, really bad, and we got it stopped again, and I've never had any problems since or before. It was very strange.
Now, you mentioned that frequencies are changing. Explain to our audience what you mean by that.
It's not something that, unless you're in an esoteric field, you can...
We're talking with Dr. Francesca here, and... I'm very interested in this harmonic change, or for lack of a better term.
Well, some of the people here, other lecturers, are calling it the interdimensional shift. My contacts back 30 years ago called it the frequency change. It's the same thing. We are moving from this third dimension in which we live into a fourth and fifth dimensional state. That's what I mean by the frequency change.
Well, what will the world be like in the fourth and fifth dimension?
It should be like paradise, with no more wars, no more hatred, no more killings, no more greed and envy and money, no more monetary system.
So you're pretty optimistic that things are going to get a little better.
We can only hang on that long, yes.
And what are the space people tell you about this? That do they think we can hang on or not?
Well, they say that some of the most recent communications I got a few weeks ago, they say that we've got to muster up every bit of self-discipline and positivity that we can, because many people are experiencing depression, feelings of uselessness, hopelessness. We are like, some of us, I know I've experienced it, I feel like a yo-yo. One day we feel up and everything's okay, and the next day we're down. It's almost like being bipolar.
Now, where are these space people from?
Many of them are coming from the interdimensional or fourth dimensional level of other planets in our system. They are not coming from the physical level like we are. And some of them are coming from the Pleiades, like the Billy Meyer case. Some of them are coming from other planets, like the Carlos Dias case.
The interesting thing with these communications, as you say, are telepathic. is there a way that you get attached to certain individuals, or is this kind of a, it's an overall message from something?
No, I have very definite names and communicators that work with me, sometimes new people, but Ramia is one of my main communicators.
Tell me about Ramir.
Ramir is R-A-Y hyphen M-E-R-E, and he has been one of the main communicators through the relay craft transmitter from Saturn Command for many years now.
When you say Saturn Command, is that a
how they identify themselves. The main governing body for this solar system is on the fourth or fifth dimensional Saturn. And they communicate, we are the only planet in this system that is not in the solar confederation, because we're the only planet that we know of with a life wave at this third dimensional dense level.
So the others have already passed this?
Right.
And you expect this shift to occur around 2012?
Anytime between now and 2012.
Just not at like a definite date.
Well, that's the deadline. There's somewhere in the Christian Bible it says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour of my coming. I suspect there may be a second coming of the Christ and the Christ consciousness within individuals when this event occurs.
Yeah, that's the reason I alluded to that earlier, that a lot of religious connotations here from conventional Christianity as well. The thing that I find incredibly interesting about all of this is that you really feel that, you know, we're going, I have to get back to this previous lives and previous loves thing, because it seems to me on one level that makes a lot of sense, but on another level that seems like that might be pretty boring, keep running across the same people. Of course, we don't know it.
I don't think it's boring, no. Because when you recognize them, old friends or a lover, a soulmate, it's anything but boring. It's exciting.
Well, of course, that part of it is, but I'm talking about
old enemies. It's dramatic.
Well, you got a good point there, Doctor. I hadn't thought about it that way. Let's go ahead and give your telephone number and the address for your newsletter again, and then we'll get ready to wrap this up. I'll let you bring out something maybe that we haven't talked about, if there's something we missed that you think the audience would like to know. But first of all, let's get to the newsletter again. Get your pencil ready, folks, or your pen, and she's going to tell you how to get a hold of her.
Starcraft News is published quarterly. And our address is Solar Light Retreat, 7700 Avenue of the Sun, White City, Oregon, 97503. And our phone number is 541-855-1956. I won't be home again from this Congress until the 17th, though. I don't know when this is going.
Well, it'll be broadcast after that, so you'll be home in time to take it, the conversation, and the telephone calls as a result of our conversation. Now, you've spent decades in this industry, in this field, in this plan. Tell me a little bit about maybe your overview and maybe something you think our audience needs to know.
I think the most important thing perhaps for them to need to know is to follow their own inner guidance, their own inner sensing, not to listen to the negative voices that are screaming at them from the world, from television, from even from politics, from the financial situation, particularly here in the U.S. They have to listen to their own God self or the voice within above all else. I think that's the most important thing I could tell them at this point.
Dr. Francesca, I've enjoyed it. We'll be talking again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it, too.
This is Jerry Pippin. Thank you for listening. Until next time, cheers. Hey, it's been a great show. Don't forget, the UFO Congress lasts all week. Come on out to Laughlin, Nevada, if you're in the neighborhood. On the beautiful Colorado River, we're at the brand new Aquarius Casino Resort. Great place. Come see us. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Cheers. By the way, this program has been edited by Jane Swartley.
The doors are finally open at shopjerrypippin.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features three different Jerry Pippin UFO files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at shopjerrypippin.com.